Okay, welcome back to Shmuel Aleph. So we are learning Perek Yud Zayin. Last week we learned the first part of the Perek. I think we got through Pasuk Yud Tes. Tonight we'll learn another almost 20 Pesukim. And then next week, Emir Tzashim, we'll finish the final 20 Pesukim or so. It's a long Perek.
This is the first time it came up the right.
So Yud Zayin. Oh, Pasuk Yud Tes. Yeah, Pasuk Yud Tes. Okay. So Perek Yud Zayin, so the we discussed at the beginning of the Perek that how David's brothers were out fighting with Shaul. We learned about the taunts of Goliath, right? The great Goliath, the great Plishti warrior who would come out and taunt Bnei Yisrael and curse and mock and all sorts of terrible things. And at the very end of last week's learning, so we saw that Hishai said to his son David, the youngest, the young son, he sent him with an offering, and he said, "I want you to go and bring this offering to the leader, to the officer of the camp, where your brothers are stationed, and say Shalom Aleichem to them." And maybe give them a little bit of money, right? We had a question of what exactly it meant at the end of Pasuk Yud Ches, V'es Arubasam Tikach, either to pay off their collateral or give them something else. And the Pasuk said, Pasuk Yud Ches, that Shaul and all the Bnei Yisrael that were with Shaul, they were all in this Emek Ha'elah, they were in this this valley, and they were getting ready to fight with the Plishtim. That's what we ended off with last week in Pasuk Yud Tes.
What was the reason that Yishai told his son to bring
The offering?
Yeah,
well, again, he wanted to bring provisions to the sons. That's what he was sending with his sons, food and maybe some money. Once he was doing that, so he wanted to send something to the commanding officer, just as a sign of goodwill. Your kids are at war here. So you wanted to send something like a nice offering to the commanding officer, like a mishloach manos, to the commanding officer. Okay, pasuk chaf. So let's see pasuk chaf. Vayashkim David bavoker. So David gets up early in the morning after his father gives him these orders. Vayitosh es hatzon al shomer, and he leaves the sheep with the guard. Remember, he's the shepherd, right? He's the shepherd. He's the one who's watching his father's sheep. He can't just leave the sheep out in the field with nobody watching them. So he leaves them with a guard, with a shomer. Vayisa vayelech kasher tzivahu Yishai, and he takes the offering that Yishai told him to bring, and he goes just as Yishai commanded him. Vayavo hamagala, and he reaches the circle. And we'll learn about the circle in a moment. The hachayil hayotzei el hamaaracha, and the soldiers, right? The forces that were going out to battle. The heireu bamilchama, and they were blowing a trua. They were blowing a trua as they were going out to war. So what's this circle? So the Farshim discuss here the different ideas of what this circle was exactly. Some say it's a reference to the camp, the way that the soldiers were actually camped. It says they used to camp in a circular formation, which would protect them from attack on all sides, because they were in a circle. So they're they have people facing in every direction. So wherever the enemy comes from, they'll be ready for attack. So some say it's referring to the actual camp itself. Others say it's referring to some sort of a fence that they would put up outside of the camp. And again, it seems that most of the Mefarshim understand that they did camp in a circle. The only question is, what is the Ma'agala referring to? Is the Ma'agala referring to the camp, or is the Ma'agala referring to some sort of a circle or some sort of a fence that surrounded the camp on the outside? And some say it was like a perimeter fence, and it was built either to, for as extra protection for the camp, or is built to frighten the enemy. Some say it was built to keep the soldiers, disciplined. They shouldn't go outside of this perimeter fence If they would go outside of the perimeter fence close to the enemy might attack them. If they would go in the other direction, that means they're defecting from the camp. So this was a way of kind of keeping the soldiers, in the place where they were supposed to be and not wandering around in a different place. But either way, however exactly you understand the Magala, so David reaches this area, he reaches the camp, or he reaches the outside perimeter of the camp, and he hears that already they're beginning to go out to battle, right? They're blowing the shofar, they're beginning to go out to battle already with the Plishtim, and this is the timing where he arrives. Now, the Malbim points out the Hashkacha here, Hashem's divine providence, that he's arriving at the exact right moment, because since the soldiers are already beginning to leave the camp and go out to battle, his brothers are already gone. They're already out of the camp. So we'll see in a moment that he's got to run to greet his brothers, and that's what's going to lead him to the rest of the events of the parak.
I have a very bad short-term memory, so last week is bad. So with Goliath, last week was, he said, come pick one of you guys to fight with me. Nothing ever happened with that.
Nothing ever happened. No.
So they just, the story turned to now Yishai and his sons, it just stopped right there.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a continuation, but we'll see.
We didn't get to anything.
No, there hasn't been any fighting yet. Okay. Just taunting and mocking.
The Hareyu, what does that mean exactly? It means that they
Hareyu, yeah, like Teruah. As they were going out to battle, they would blow the shofar. It's like a battle. It was like the battle cry.
To scare the enemy or to...
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure if it was to scare them or to gather the troops or, Yeah. Okay. Now, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Taroch Yisrael uplishti ma'arocha likras ma'arocha. Now, both camps are beginning to come out, and the ma'arocha refers to like the battle formation. So they begin in their camps. Bnei Yisrael is camping here, and remember we discussed they were camping on two mountains, and they had a valley in between them. So they're camping on these two mountains, and now they begin. Both the Plishtim and Bnei Yisrael begin to come out of their camps and set up their battle formations. That's this ma'arocha. Okay, Pasukov Beis, Vayitosh David es hakelim me'alav al yad shomer hakelim. Now David has a whole bunch of stuff with him. He's got clothing, and he's got maybe a suitcase or something. He's got a whole bunch of stuff. And now he's got to run out and meet his brothers. Now his brothers, keep in mind, they're already out of the camp. They're getting into their battle formation. David doesn't want to be schlepping all of this stuff as he's running out to his brothers. So there was a fellow who was the Shomer HaKelim. He was the guy who would stand back, and he was the guard who would watch all of the belongings of the soldiers while they went out to battle. So David takes, his kelim, he takes his coat or his suitcase or whatever he's got, and he leaves it with the shomer hakelim. Vayarat ha-ma'arocha, and he runs towards the battle formation where his brothers are. Vayavo vayisha le'echav l'shalom, and he sees his brothers, and he says, oh, shalom aleichem, how are you? How are you doing? Pasuk chav kimo, v'hu medaber imam, as he's still talking with them, and saying Shalom Aleichem, and says the Malbim, this is the Hashkachas Hashem, the providence of Hashem, that the timing here is impeccable, that as he's saying Shalom Aleichem to his brothers who are already out and in this battle formation, what happens? V'hinei Ish HaBeinayim. Who was the Ish HaBeinayim? We learned at the beginning of the parak, the Ish HaBeinayim was Goliath. And they called him the Ish HaBeinayim because he would go in the middle. He would go in between the camps. He wasn't scared. Right? Usually lone soldiers are afraid to venture out on their own in between the two camps. He wasn't afraid. He was the Isha Beinayim. So, V'hine Isha Beinayim Ole, Golias HaPlishti Shemo, right? So, Golias, the Plishti was his name. Migas, and he was from the city of Gas. Mima'arachos Plishtim, and he comes out. He's Ole from the Ma'arachos Plishtim. Vayidaber Kadvorim Ho'ele, and he again mocks, taunts Bnei Yisrael, as he's been doing for so many days. We discussed last week, he did it for 40 days straight, right? Some said it was a reward, whatever it was, but he did it for 40 days straight. Vayishma David, and all of a sudden David hears what's going on, okay? Now, the rest of the soldiers of Bnei Yisrael have been hearing this for the last 40 days. So to them, this is not a chiddush. To them, this is not nothing new. Every day, this guy comes out and he taunts and he mocks. David, this was his first day. He's just coming. This is visiting day. He's coming to visit his brothers. He says, Shalom Aleichem. And all of a sudden, he hears this guy come out, booming voice, mocking B'nai Yisrael, taunting B'nai Yisrael, making fun of B'nai Yisrael. And David hears this and he, what's going on over here? What's going on? Now, it's interesting. The Malbim points out that here, Golias is already beginning to have a little more chutzpah. Not, I mean, not that he was lacking chutzpah before, but he was having even a little more chutzpah. Why? Because he says, you see, the pasuk here says that he was ole. Until now, we didn't see the word ole, right? Until now, what did he do? He went out in between the camps. Now, keep in mind, right? The pesukim described that the Bnei Yisrael camp was on one mountain, and the Plishti camp was on another mountain, and there was a valley in the middle. So, until now, what was he doing? He would come out of the Plishti camp and he would descend into the valley, but he wouldn't begin his ascent towards the camp of Bnei Yisrael. He would go like down towards the middle of the valley and he would stand there and he would scream and taunt and mock Bnei Yisrael who were up at the top of this of the mountain. Now Golias is getting a little more, he has a little more chutzpah, a little more audacity, and now he's beginning ole. He doesn't just go down and descend into the valley, but now he begins his ascent towards the camp of Bnei Yisrael. So he's walking up now towards the Bnei Yisrael camp, right? Because again, everybody's getting ready for battle. He's coming up towards the camp, and it says Mima'arachos Plishtim, because again, we're in the battle formation. This is not just the camps. We're ready now in battle formation. We're going out to fight. So he's coming up, and he's coming up to fight. Some of the Mefarshim point out that there's also a little bit of a slap in the face to Golias in this pasuk, because if you look, the kri, the way that the pasuk is read, is mima'arachos plishtim. But if you look at the way that it's written in the Navi, so it's written without the chaf. It's written mima'aros plishtim. Mima'aros plishtim. It's read with a chaf, but it's written without a chaf. So so Rashi and the Radak understand that the Pashup Shat says the Radak is that it's from the plains of the Plishtim. That's where he was coming from. That's where Gas was located. But Rashi and the Radak also understand, according to the Drash, that there was a little bit of a slap in the face that apparently his mother, Goliath's mother, who we learned last week was Orpah, right? Orpah, who was the daughter-in-law, one of the daughters-in-law of Naomi, right? So Orpah, so this word of Ma'aros, this word seems to identify some sort of inappropriate sexual behavior on her part, that she would, she wasn't a very faithful woman, and she was, she went with many different types of men, and that's Mima'aros Plishtim, from the many different affairs and many different relationships that she had with the Plishtim, and it seems that it's not 100% clear. Either they, it wasn't really clear who Goliath's father was, because she had so many relationships with so many people, so it wasn't even clear who his father was. Some of the Mefarshim say that there's even a Medrash that says that he was conceived from different men, right? Even though scientifically I'm not sure that can be, but at least according to the Medrash, that he may have been conceived by multiple men that she was with. And again, this is a little bit of a slap in the face. That even though Golias was given the license to taunt and to mock and to ridicule Bnei Yisrael, but at the same time, the pasuk still identifies him as basically a lowlife who did not come from very holy stock. Yeah. Yes. Yes, but that doesn't mean that he was Golias's father. Meaning he was Orpah's wife, but again, apparently after he died, Orpah still maintained many different relationships with many different men. Goliath was born afterwards. Yeah. Yeah. Well, think about it. I mean, he's a contemporary of David, and David came, several generations later. It wasn't immediate. Okay. Okay, fine. So now, David hears what's going on. He hears the taunting and the mocking. And this, it rubs him the wrong way. Now, everybody's petrified, right? Now, until now, all of Bnei Yisrael were also petrified, but now they're even more scared. Why? Because it's not just that he's coming down into the valley and screaming and taunting and mocking. He's actually beginning to come up towards the camp, towards the battle formation. They're getting really scared. Pasuk Chav Dalet, V'chol Ish Yisrael Birosam Es HaIsh Vayanusu Mipanav. So they begin running. They begin fleeing in the other direction. They see this guy coming, Goliath, this big warrior coming. Vayiru Ma'od, and they're terribly afraid. So what do they say? Vayomer Ish Yisrael. So they say, it sounds like, you know, presumably what this pasuk means is that they're saying to each other, right? That one Jewish soldier is turning and saying to another, you know, as they're getting scared and as they're running away, Hara'isem ha'ish ha'ole hazeh. You see this guy, you see this great warrior coming up here, ascending the mountain. He's coming to mock, to taunt, to blaspheme, to curse Bnei Yisrael. And what's the deal that the king has struck with all of Bnei Yisrael? That the one who kills Goliath, Yashrenu Hamelech Osher Gadol, the king will give him great wealth as a reward for defeating this terrible warrior. Yasbito Yitein Lo, and the king Shaul, of course we're talking about Shaul, will give his daughter in marriage to the one who kills this person. Yes, Beis Aviv, Yaseh Chofshi BiYisrael, and his father's home, the father of whatever soldier, whatever warrior defeats Goliath, will be free. Now, you know, free from what? You know, I would have said free from taxes or something like that. You know, but the Rashi, they seem to understand that it means, you know, free from the Mishpatei Amelucha. You know, the king had certain rights and was able to do certain things, you know, with people in his kingdom. And these people, this family would be off the hook. This was a reward. So it was a triple reward. Number one, great wealth. Number two, the princess as a bride. And number three, different benefits for the family. Benefits for the family of the one who would kill this Goliath.
I would think that the prophet said, by Yomer, he said, Ish Yisrael to the Ish of Yisrael. Meaning Shaul said this, and that's why he's offering the reward or whatever it is. Because he's the one.
Uh-huh.
Who else would offer the king's ransom, basically?
No, well, I mean, no. Certainly the king offered it.
Shaul was there and he offered it.
Yeah, but I don't think he's talking here. Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. By Yomer Ish Yisrael. It sounds like just this is what they're saying. You know, one Jew turns to another. I hear what you're saying.
But,
yeah.
It's funny that it just pops in there.
Yes.
You don't hear the show.
Right.
The whole picture.
Right.
Anywhere, the whole parak.
Right.
Suddenly they said, "Oh, the king said."
Right.
And so, I should. The show was there, right? Shaul
was
leading them in, no?
Yeah. Yeah, but it wouldn't refer to Shaul HaMelech as Ish Yisrael.
No, by Yomer, meaning Shaul said, Ish Yisrael to the Ish Yisrael, to them, whoever does this.
Yeah, but, I mean, we haven't mentioned Shaul the whole parak almost.
That's what I'm saying, but all of a sudden, somebody can speak on his behalf.
Also, it would say, by Yomer, Shaul le'Ish Yisrael, or something like that.
I agree
that this, yeah.
But
yeah. Okay.
Such a...
No, it certainly was coming from Shaul. This was not made up. It was certainly coming from Shaul. Why the Navi presents it this way, correct, as almost like a side conversation between different soldiers, right, and not Shaul himself declaring this reward is a good question that I'm not sure about. But it's interesting. So I saw. I have a sefer that quotes different Rishonim in other places that mention some of the things that are going on in the Navi. So the Sefer, it's called Yesodei Hanaviim from Rav Aaron Lapiansky in the Rosh Hashiva of the Yeshiva Gedola of Silver Spring. And he quotes an Akedas Yitzchak. Akedas Yitzchak is one of the Rishonim, one of the Mefarshim on Tanakh, on Torah. And the Akedas Yitzchak mentions that, generally speaking, kina, jealousy, is a terrible midah. It's a terrible midah. And it's a midah that eats up the people that have it and doesn't allow them to live happily, right? Because a person that's always jealous of someone else, You know, it's never going to be satisfied. It's never going to be able to be happy and to live a happy life. But says the Akedas Yitzchak, there are some times when jealousy is used as in a positive sense, right? Like, for example, here says the Akedas Yitzchak. Here you have Shaul HaMelech basically bribing, you know, the Jewish soldiers and saying, listen, I need someone to defeat this guy. How am I going to get someone to do it? I'm going to have to throw out all these things and offer great wealth and offer the princess and offer benefits for the family. I'm going to have to offer all these things. And that's going to create a certain jealousy, a certain kinna, and a person it's going to motivate people to do it. Right. So even though, and he also quotes the Gemara in Baba Basra that I'm sure many of us have heard, kinas sofrim tar bechachma, right? That intellectual kinna, intellectual jealousy increases wisdom. Increases wisdom. What do they say? I think in academia, the saying is publish or perish. Publish or perish, right? I mean, if you want to be successful in academia, you have to publish studies. You have to publish papers. You have to write. You have to publish articles and books. You have to do it. And if you don't do it, then that's it. Your career is done, right? So there's a kinas sofrim. There's a jealousy that, hey, you know, he published a book. Now I got to publish a book. And if, you know, I got to keep up. And but what that does is that hopefully if it's done in a proper way, it increases wisdom because now there's more research happening and there's more chachma. And so too, lahavdi, when it comes to Torah, we have a similar concept. Kinas sofrim tar b'chachma. The Gemara Bava Basra says it's in the context of hasagas gvul. Normally we say you're not allowed to open up a business in a certain area if you're going to put the other guy out of business, right? If, you know, I can't just come in if there's a guy, Erlich Hayidi, has a business. I can't just open up a business next door and put him out of business for nothing, right? If let's say the community cannot sustain, you know, whatever, right? I can't just come in and put the guy out of business. But when it comes to yeshivas, when it comes to chadarim, when it comes to tutors or rabbeim or whatever the case might be, the Gemara says, no problem. You can have another Rebbe come in and open up a new school. Why? Kinas sofrim tar b'chachma. Because adarav, if he opens up a new school, then he'll make it a better school and the kids will be better educated. So, you know, that'll cause the other Rebbe to do a better job because he doesn't want to lose his kids. So meanwhile, what's going to end up happening is that people will get a better chinuch. They'll get a better education. That's a good thing. Kinas sofrim tar b'chachma. So says the Akedas Yitzchak, there are times where kina is used in a positive way, with a positive spin. That even though generally kinah is a negative meter, a terrible thing, but sometimes it can be used in a positive way like we see here. Okay, now, so let's look at David's response. Very interesting response. David, here's what's going on. Pasuk Chaf Vav. Vayomer David el ha'anashim ha'omdim imo lemor. So David says to the people that are standing around him, Ma ye'ase lo'ish asher yakes ha'plishti ha'loz. What's going to be, you know, what's the person who defeats this plishti, the person who defeats Goliath, what's he going to get? The heisir cherpa mi'al Yisrael, right? And by defeating Goliath, he's obviously going to remove the disgrace from Bnei Yisrael. Ki mi'a plishti ha'orel hazeh, ki cheref marchos elokim chayim. Who is this guy? And who does this guy think he is? Who does this plishti think he is? He can just get up and curse and mock and taunt, you know, the Jewish camp. This is not just any regular army. This is the army of the Elohim Chaim, of the living God. This is the army of Hashem. You can't just get up and taunt and disgrace them. Very good, very good. So all the Mefarshim are bothered by this pasuk. Well, what's going on here? David just heard what they said, right? They're all talking and they just said, oh, you know, if only, they're basically saying, if only one of us could defeat this guy, you know, we would get wealth and benefits and we would marry the princess. It would be gewaldic. So what's David asking? So David's asking, you know, Maye ase loisha sheyakes aplishti halos. Didn't we just discuss this? Why is David asking the question again? So the Metzudas David says, Pashup Shat, that no, he knew the answer to the question. And he was just asking it to kind of begin the conversation and basically imply that, hey, I'm in, right? I volunteer, right? So he says, you know, what was that again? What was the reward for the guy who defeats him again? And this was his way. You know, he knew what they said. He remembered, he knew exactly what they said, but this is his way of kind of throwing his hat in the ring of, of, of beginning the process of saying, hey, you know, I'll go. I'll volunteer to go and fight Goliath. Yeah, but why is he asking the question? He heard what the offer was. Okay. Yeah, but even if it is different men, let's say it is different. So he was telling them.
Exactly.
It sounds like he's asking them, right? Ma yeyose lo isha sheyakis apushti halos. Yeah, I hear. Okay. So that's how the Metzudas David understands that he's kind of, you know, opening up. You know, of course, he just heard what the reward would be, but he's kind of just opening the door by saying, you know, I'm going to be the one to volunteer and to go. The Malbim, though, and this was unbelievable. When I saw this Malbim, I thought it was unbelievable. The Malbim says, no, you misunderstood the Pasuk. He's not asking the question of what's going to be the reward for the person who defeats Goliath. He knows the answer to that question. We just discussed it. He's asking incredulously, who could even think about getting a reward for such a thing? A reward for killing Goliath? This guy is the biggest disgrace to Bnei Yisrael. You don't need a reward. The greatest reward is removing the disgrace from Bnei Yisrael. Just killing this guy. Just wiping him off the map, just getting rid of him and removing this disgrace from Bnei Yisrael, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his nation. That is the greatest reward. Who could even talk of a reward? It's like a bitmiya, you know, for those who learn Gemara. It's a rhetorical, incredulous question, right? So again, you have to read it. Not ma ye'asa la'isha shayakas aplishti halas. He wasn't asking the question, what is the reward? He knew exactly what the reward was. That's what we just discussed in the previous pasuk. He's saying, ma ye'asa la'isha shayakas aplishti halas. What needs to be done for such a person? The person who defeats Goliath, what needs to be done to such a person? That's ridiculous. What does he need a reward for? The greatest reward is exactly what he just accomplished by ridding the world of this terrible disgrace for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his people, right? Now, it's interesting because according to this pshat of the Malbim, this is, I believe, our first glimpse into David's greatness. Because until now, we haven't really seen much of David. What have we seen of him? We know he was anointed. We know that Shmuel was instructed that he was the one. So Shmuel anointed him. We know that he was maybe a good shepherd. We know he was a good musician. Right? Remember, he was selected to be the musician for Shaul. We know he was a good musician. Do we know that he was a tzaddik? Do we know that he was a righteous spirit? Do we know that he had a special neshama? We don't know any of those things. But here, all of a sudden, according to the Malbim, we see a glimpse of David's greatness. A reward? A reward to rid the world of this disgrace, to save HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor, to save the honor of Klal Yisrael. That itself is the greatest reward. Oh, now we begin to see David's greatness a little bit, and his sensitivity, and his great spirit. Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayomer lo ha'am kadavar azeh lemor, ko ye'ase la'isha sheyakenu. So again, according to the Metzudas David, so he understands, They repeat what the reward is, right? They said what the reward was in Pasuk Chav Hei. In Chavav, David asks the question again, and they, you know, maybe they're not sure, why is this guy so slow? How come he's not processing what we're saying? So in Chav Zayin, they repeat it. You know, yeah, the reward is like we said. You know, you get the princess to marry, and you get great wealth, and you get benefits for your family, etc. But according to the Malbim, what's their response? According to the Malbim, what's their response? Because again, David's asking incredulously, how could you even expect the reward for such a thing? And the Malbim, according to the Malbim, they respond, you're right. There really should be no reward for the removal of this disgrace, right? For the restoration of the kavod to Hashem and his nation, you're right. There really is no reward. However, what's the reward for? Only Asher Yakenu. The reward is really only for killing such a powerful warrior. That's the reward. You're right. For the removal of the disgrace, for the restoration of the honor of Hashem and his nation, there's no reward for that. You don't need a reward. The reward is superfluous. That's the reward itself. But for killing such a gibor, for killing such a powerful warrior, that you get rewarded for. For the actual killing of this strong person, that you're going to get rewarded for, because once you kill him, oh, now you're a gibor chayil. You're a courageous warrior. If you're a courageous warrior, you deserve great wealth. You deserve benefits for your family. You deserve to marry the king's daughter. So all of those things, this is the people's response, according to the Malbim, is only for the killing of Goliath, not for the restoration of the honor of Hashem and his people. That, you're right, there's no reward for that. The reward is for the killing of Goliath. Oh, so let's see. Okay, so now, before David explicitly accepts it, Eliav is not very happy. Eliav, remember, was David's oldest brother. Pasuk Chav Ches. Vayishma Eliav Achiv HaGadol B'davro El HaAnashim. So Eliav sees his younger brother having this conversation with the soldiers around him. Vayichar Af Eliav B'David. Eliav gets furious at David. Vayomer. Lama Ze Yoradata. Why'd you come down here? Right, he sees basically his little Pisher brother, you know, all of a sudden comes down and is, you know, and making like he's going to be the savior. He's going to be the one to fight Goliath. What are you coming down here for? You're supposed to be watching the sheep, right? Where'd you abandon the sheep to? Where'd you leave the sheep? Hahena ba midbar. You just left them out in the midbar by themselves? Aniya datias zedoncha. I know your evil doing. And I know the evil that's in your heart. You just came for the hak. You just came to see the battle. You came for a little action. That's why you came here. Right? You know, he sees his brother and he thinks, you have a responsibility. We're the soldiers. Right? You're the shepherd. You're the one who's supposed to be helping daddy back with the sheep. You know, so what do you do? So you abandon your post. You abandon the sheep. You know, our family's livelihood, our father's livelihood. And you come down here just to have a good time. What's the matter with you? Right? So Eliav is angry and he's giving his brother a little musr. Now, the Metzudas David points out that he obviously Eliav had no idea that Yishai sent him, right? Yeah, that's true. That's fine. But he's not, but he's not a king yet. This has nothing to do with being king, right?
But he sees that he's grooming to be the king. So he's acting in a
Okay, but again, he's still the older brother. And remember, he was passed up. You know, he's still the older brother. So, you know, maybe. Right? Maybe he's a little bit jealous.
Do you get any idea? Like, you look at his younger brother, like, younger brother said, puny little thing is going to be, we're going to fight him. We don't have any idea how, compared to his other brother, it sounds like
David. We don't know. I mean, David wasn't, you know, again, David wasn't known at that time to be a warrior. He wasn't even part of the army here. Leah was tall and good-looking, right? He was the warrior, right? So he didn't know what happened. He didn't know that Yishai sent him. So he thinks, you know, David Aaron has a responsibility, and he left. He left his responsibility. He left his sheep. He just came here to have a good time to get to be part of the action. That's what he sees. So the Malbim says, what's the Zidoncha and the Roa Levavcha, Levavecha, right? The evil doing and the evil that's in your heart. So he says, number one, you came on your own, right? Without reshus, without permission, which again, he was wrong because Yishai had sent him. But Eliav didn't know that. So Eliav said, number one, Zedoncha, that you came on your own. And number two, you left the sheep, right? You left the sheep. We need the sheep. That's daddy's sheep. You left the sheep. You know, that's Roa Levavecha. Now it's interesting that, you know, the Malbim pointed out already before that the Pasuk was clear that this was not the case. The Pasuk was clear earlier that he came because of Yishai's command, and he actually, the Pasuk said what he did with the sheep. He left it with a shomer. He left it with a guard. He wasn't just mafkir. He didn't just leave it out in the wilderness. Vayomer David, so David responds to his brother, Pasuk Chavtes, Me'o sisiata, halo davarhu. He says, well, what did I do? I didn't even do anything, right? The Mefarshim say, you know, maybe if I did something wrong, you could be angry at me, but I didn't do anything wrong. I'm just talking. I'm just speaking. I just showed up here. I said Shalom Aleichem to you. I'm asking these guys a question. You know, what are you getting so angry for? What are you getting so upset? So says the Radak, he turns around. He turns around from Eliav to a different direction. And he again repeats his question to someone else. And they respond. He basically now is ignoring Eliav, right? Eliav got angry for nothing, and he's ignoring Eliav. He says, "Forget about it. You're getting angry for nothing." Yes, David, and he's going back to his conversation that he was having before, right? in terms of removing the disgrace for Bnei Yisrael, and that we don't need any reward for this, and any reward, okay, maybe the reward is for the killing of Goliath, okay. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayishomu hadvarim asher diber David, Vayagidu lifnei Shaul, Vayikachehu. So now the word travels very quickly through the camp that David is expressing interest. David is expressing interest in volunteering to go fight Goliath. So the word gets back to Shaul. Shaul is the king, obviously, and he's there, you know, somewhere there. So the word gets back to Shaul, and they say, you know, he's belittling Goliath. He's making light of it. He's ready to fight. He's ready to fight. And says the Malbim, Shaul understood based on, and again with the Malbim's approach here, that that David is making such an emphatic point of the holy battle of saving the honor of Hashem and the honor of Bnei Yisrael. So Shaul sees this, and Shaul sees, you know what? This is not a Stam kid. This is not just a regular kid. It's not just he wants some action. He's got a spirit to him. He's got a Ruach Acheres, right? The preserving Hashem's honor is more precious to him than all the wealth that's out there. So Shaul sees that this is a special kid. Pasuk Lamed Beis, Vayomer David El Shaul, Al Yipo Lev Adam Alav. So, you know, David is summoned before Shaul, before the king, and he turns to the king, he turns to Shaul, and he says, Al Yipo Lev Adam Alav. No one's heart should fall because of him. So, most understand that it means that nobody should be afraid of this guy Goliath, right? I see that the Jewish soldiers, the Bnei Yisrael, are afraid. Don't be afraid of him. Avdecha yelech v'nilcham im haplishti hazeh. I, your servant, will go and fight this plishti. I'll fight him. And even though he seems very strong, says the Malbim, physically, he seems like a very powerful warrior, spiritually he's very weak. Spiritually he's very shvach. And David says, I can do it. I can defeat him. Pasuk lamed gimel v'yomer shaul el David, lo suchal aleches el haplishti hazeh lihilochem imo. So Shaul turns to him and he says, come on, you can't fight with this plishti. Kinarata. Number one, you're a nar, you're a little kid, right? And the Mefarshim say, you don't have any training. You're not even a soldier. You're a shepherd. Vehu ishmel chama mina urav. So number one, you're totally inexperienced and untrained, and he's extremely experienced and trained. You have no chance, right? You have no chance. Pasuk Lamed Daled, Vayomer David El Shaul, Roeh Haya Avdecha La'aviv Batzon. You're right. I was a shepherd, right? I'm a shepherd by profession. I'm a shepherd. I shepherd my father's sheep. However, I do have some experience fighting. Why? Uvaha Arivies Hadov V'nasa Semeha Eder. Because once there was a lion and a bear, and they came and they grabbed the sheep from the flock. Okay, so he's telling a Maisa Shehaya. It was once a lion and a bear. They came, some of the Farshim say they came together. And they came and they took this sheep from the flock. And what did I do? V'yotzasi acharav. And I chased the lion and the bear. V'yikisiv. And I attacked him. I hit him. V'yitzalti mipiv. And I saved the sheep from the mouth of the lion and the bear. V'yokom alai. And then they attacked me. Right, because I hit him, they came after me. And I grabbed him by the mane, by the jaw, and I killed him. So you see, I have experience. I fought a lion. I fought a bear. If I defeated a lion and a bear, I can defeat Goliath. I can defeat Goliath. Now Vegamis Pasuk Lamed Vav. And he repeats, and also the lion and the bear I defeated. And some say, what's the gam now? The gam is coming to include something. So the, you know, Rashi says, according to the Medrash, that it wasn't just one lion and one bear, but each one had cubs, had two cubs with him. So it was a total of five or six. I think it was maybe one cub and two cubs, a total of five. You know, five beasts between them, and I defeated all of them together. This plishti is no better than these animals. Because he disgraced and he cursed the legions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Mitzudas David here says that basically what David is saying is, I have bitachon. Because he's cursing Bnei Yisrael, that's what's going to enable me to defeat him. Right? Because he has no zchusim. Look, he's cursing Bnei Yisrael. So I defeated the beasts, I'll be able to defeat him also. And says the Malbim, maybe you'll tell me that he's even more dangerous than the animals because he's a human being. So he's got a chachma. So maybe he's even more dangerous than the animals, but he lost his humanity, says the Malbim. How did he lose his humanity, Goliath? Because since he's cursing and mocking Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he loses all benefits of humanity and he's no better than a lion or a bear. He's no better than an animal. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed me to defeat the animals, he'll allow me to defeat this animal also. Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Vayomer David, Hashem Asher Yitzilani Miyad Ha'ari Miyad Adov, Hu Yatzilani Miyad HaPlishti Azen. He gives a little tefillah, David HaMelech, and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who saved me from the lion and from the bear, he should save me from this plishti. Vayomer Shaul El David, Leich v'Hashem Yehiyeh Imach. So Shaul sees that this is not just a kid who's being reckless. He sees that it's a kid that has bitachon. He sees it's a kid that has a ruach acheras. It's a kid that has a ruchnias to him, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashkiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him some, you know, a little extra zchus and a little extra strength. And he says, you know what? Maybe he's right. Maybe Hashem will help this kid. Because right now we have no one to fight this person. Maybe Hashem will help him and help him be successful. Rashi points out that essentially what the message that David was saying was that the fact that I was able to kill this lion and a bear, killing a lion and a bear is a big chiddush. The fact that I was able to do that shows, is a simon for me, that I'll be able to defeat Goliath. Why else would Hashem make this happen in my life, that I can kill a lion and a bear? Yeah, it must be a simon to me that I can kill Goliath. That's why Hashem enabled it. And this is a beautiful turn of events. Says Rashi, who's the other tzaddik in history who saw a simon and said, you know what, Hashem is sending me a message that I must be successful? Mordechai. Mordechai HaTzaddik. Why? Because Mordechai says, why else would HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow Esther to be taken as the queen? Obviously to save Bnei Yisrael. Right? Unbelievable. Mamash, we're just coming off of Purim. Right? There's no coincidences in life. It's unbelievable. Right? So says Rashi, these are the two tzaddikim, David and Mordechai. They both see a simon. David says, there's no reason why Hashem would allow me to defeat a lion and a bear if not to show me that I can defeat Goliath as well. And Mordechai says, there's no other reason that Hashem enabled or Hashem allowed Ahasuerus to take Esther as a queen, if not to save Bnei Yisrael. So you see Hashem's plan unfolding. You see Hashem's plan unfolding. Oh, okay. So Amir Tzashem, we'll stop with this tonight. Shaul gives him permission, and we're going to learn beginning Pasuk Lamed Ches. It's late, we have to stop for tonight, but we'll learn Amir Tzashem next week how David actually goes, and as we know, eventually kills Goliath. David and Goliath, sure. Okay, thank you everyone for joining. Have a wonderful evening.